ChrisBuffalo.com. He knows movie madness. Get the reviews from the coolest podcast. He's the two thumbs up. Hold on, waste your cash. Just kick back because the screen has begun. The madness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, good evening, guys and dolls. Thanks for playing me and Jay Snow, and welcome to the show on this all lovely All Talk Monday here in Buffalo. And I'm sure you're aware it's pretty cold outside, so you're probably inside. I would imagine no one's having a bonfire outside, because if you are, I'm sure there's a few people that are like, "Hey, I'm not gonna let the weather dictate what I'm gonna do." There's gonna be some people wearing shorts. I'm sure there's mostly fat guys, fat white guys, but you know, they're out there. If you spot them, I take pictures, put it on Twitter. We could put those guys on blast. Those guys that refuse to wear long pants. You know, I like to wear shorts most of the time, but you know, I do. I know when to call it quits. Like when it's zero, when it's minus, when we start going into minuses as we are in Buffalo right now. You know, I think you can be like, you know what? I'm gonna put on some long pants. I'm gonna adapt. I mean, that's what humans do. That's what mammals do. We adapt to our environment. We don't, you know, you can't hold out. Like that's what, like the dinosaurs, they didn't adapt. They died because, you know, the asteroid came and got really cold, and then they all wanted to wear shorts. That's why they died. I think that's the last theory I read. I might be a little wrong on that, but anyway, thanks for listening. If you are, I totally appreciate it because the roads are treacherous. It was tough for me to get here because I feel like now it's, you know, that's final month and it's just too much. It's too cold. We've had a lot of snow this year, so plow drivers. So we're just like, there's still like the streets aren't completely clear. There's like spots that are kind of bad. So we're just like, meh, you know what? We give up. We kind of threw in the towel. You know, Mayor Brown is just probably hanging out with all the plow. They're probably just at one bar, like on a sitcom, their special bar, and they're just getting drunk, and they're not plowing the streets. And I saw a few people slide into snowbanks on the way here, so I don't know if they were just texting and driving or if you want to chalk that up to random ice spots, since it's, I think ice can just randomly form through the salt when it's negative, what was our high, negative 11? I don't want to harp on the weather too much though, because you know, everyone's aware of it. Pretty sure you know, you're aware, and it's kind of cliche anyway. You know, because people are like, "Oh, Buffett, like, why do you live there?" I mean, you know, it's the same temperature in Toronto, great city. People don't ask you why do you live in Toronto, because you know the culture, the museums. Granted, we don't have, you know, we got like three museums, one art museum, but that's, you know, winter sports. You're into sledding, bam. This is the place to be if you enjoy cold temperatures, low cost of living. I don't know. Maybe you just don't feel like moving, but it's a stupid question. Of like, oh, what if someone asks you seriously, why do you live here? And you just don't, like, you know, like you're so much better because you happen to be born somewhere else or because you're from California. Or if you moved to California, you know how crowded California is right now? Very, very crowded. At least here you can spread out. You can enjoy yourself. You can put your feet up. California, you can't put your feet up. Not enough room. Granted, it's 80 degrees there, but doesn't matter. Here, you just put on a coat. You just layer up. We have new technology. We have dry technology, thermal shirts. They do. They actually keep you very warm. You put on some wool socks, some boots, and a hat. And actually, you know, without the wind, it's quite pleasant. You can do lots of stuff outside. I enjoy seeing my breath. It's reassuring that I'm still alive and not in some sort of computer simulation. Am I right? Probably not. Anyway, sorry. I got distracted by the weather. No, I have a big show. Well, not a big show. I do. I'm going to review The Kingsman, a movie that's currently out. We'll talk about that in a second. I do want to... of course, a big TV thing was just the 40th anniversary of SNL, Saturday Night Live. So I do appreciate everyone twittering about every little segment on that. Super informative. I don't know if you're following everyone's tweets or Facebook A lot of people have their tweets hooked up to their Facebook, which is extra annoying because I think, as someone else has mentioned, one of my colleagues, it's like, hey, you know what? You're going to have Facebook. You're going to have Twitter. Give us something new. I want new. I want fresh content for each separate social media. I don't want to see repeats. That's like an encore or something. Give me something new. Because when I put on something Twitter, I usually don't put it on Facebook. Or if I do, if I feel like, because you know, usually just tweeting out into the ether anyway. So you're like, who's reading this? But if I feel like it's something good that's being ignored, then I will put it on Facebook. But I'll expand on it a little bit because I'm not restricted by 140 characters. So, and I don't, anything I put on Instagram, purely Instagram. So there you go. That's how I spend most of my day, is just making up new things for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But I mean, you know, Instagram, I feel, is like just pictures. So you can tell more stories with pictures. 10,000 words, I believe, is how it goes. So if you want to follow me there, be my guest, because it's a delight. I'll be honest with you. I'm not, you know, in all humbleness, it's a delight. And if you can spell my last name, you know, my Twitter, I keep it simple. This was best advice to me. You know, someone told me this actually as a comedian, a fellow comedian told me once, the old showbiz axiom is, if you get a show, you put your name in it. Like, everyone hates Chris, everyone loves Ray, but like, your name is in it. Or Seinfeld, there's a reason for that. It's because people remember your name. So that's how I don't have something stupid, some sort of little uber clever Twitter handle. I just have J, the letter J, and my last name, J Pomyatlosh, at Twitter. So you spell that, you can find it. You find that on Facebook. But, I have a vetting process for my friend. I'm not like one of these weird chicks in bikinis with a lot of just selfies that have 10,000 friends. I actually have to, I feel like I need to personally know everyone on my Facebook list. I have a strict vetting process. I just don't friend anybody. First of all, because I am, not that I'm like afraid of the NSA, but I feel like there's a lot of fake profiles for whatever reason. Advertising, spying, FBI, or terrorist spying. So I don't want to just, you get these weird suggestions on Facebook that sometimes you don't even have mutual friends in common. And it's just, or people have one photo. That's a good way to snuff out a fake profile. Usually if you just have like one photo and then weird information, that you're just some sort of bot that's collecting data mining. Like, who needs that? So, but Twitter, you know, I'm less strict. Instagram, I do. Now, Instagram, I feel like that's the place to follow. You're not going to call a lot of information off that. So you can follow, like, you know, weird, like, I find that me and my friends, my guy friends, have a lot in common because we just follow a lot of chicks who are models that just appear in bikinis. So that's what you do on Instagram. And, you know, I'm glad that we're in an age where people can, ladies mostly, can make a living off being hot. I don't know if you make any money off of that, but I don't know, like, how you translate a million Instagram followers into cash, or if you do something on the side, or if that helps you, great. Because that's what capitalism's all about. You know what I mean? You make money off your assets. So if you look good in a bikini, you get a million followers, I would do it if I was a chick, that's for sure. But let me, we're going to talk movies because this is a movie show and I am a movie expert. So, well, before I get to Kingsman, which is what I saw, I know a lot of people are a lot of disappointment because I figure a lot of you guys really wanted me to see 50 Shades of Grey, which opened on Valentine's Day. And you were looking for that review because you want to know, hey, should I go see it? I can tell you now, don't. Although I love the, when I was in the movie theater today, the tagline is great because on the poster it's just like, whatever, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, and then on the bottom the tagline's like, aren't you curious? Which is like a good, what a lot of people, when they try to get you to do something that you really don't want to do, that's what they, like, oh, aren't you curious? Aren't you like a little bit curious? Because that's exactly what the guy in the Detroit bus terminal bathroom asked me. And actually, being an honest person, I admit, yeah, I was a little curious. And let's just say I am no longer curious. Done with that. But I did not see that. But it's 50 Shades of Grey is actually the number one movie at the box office. As depressing as that is. And, you know, it's funny. It's like one of those things I don't think anybody wants to admit. Well, I mean, some people. But it's like one of those things that most people don't admit seeing. Because everything that I've seen on Facebook or other social media is like, oh, that was the worst written book. So they'll criticize the book. And then they'll say, oh, the movie's dumb or it looks dumb. But yet it made $81.7 million. So I feel like a lot of guys got dragged there during Valentine's Day. Or either they felt like that was the right thing to do. Be like, hey, let's go see 50 Shades of Grey. And you know what? If that's like the new Notebook, that used to be my go-to line. Be like, hey, you want to come over to my house, watch the Notebook? It really does get girls in the mood. So maybe if you feel like that's what you need to do for your girl, like, hey, let's go see 50 Shades of Grey because she's a little curious. If that's what it takes, then whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a serious girlfriend, so I didn't. And even if I did, I'd probably still resist the urge. I'd probably still not go see 50 Shades of Grey. But I'm not criticizing anybody that did. And obviously a lot of people did. I don't know what... I'm not even going to read the... It's only running at 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. The movie I saw, Kingsman: The Secret Service, is at 72%. And that sounds about right. And that's where... you know, it was a little long. 2 hours and 8 minutes. But it came in second with a... very behind the 80 with a 35.6. And the other movie that I was close to seeing is SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water, which is 73%. And it's only an hour and 40 minutes. Perfect thing. That made 30 million. And then, of course, American Sniper is hanging in there with Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller at 73%. So, oh, and then the biggest bust, Jupiter Ascending. I don't even know what their budget was. I'm assuming probably in the $200 million range. So there you go. That's, yeah. And that only pulled in 9.4. Maybe it'll make it back on DVDs or overseas. That's a big market for movies these days. And then, yeah, the rest are old movies. We don't care. But let me get to the movie, The Kingsman, which I enjoyed. It's directed by Matthew Vaughn, who's a screenplay. The screenplay is by a chick, by Jane Goldman, who is, oh my goodness, look at her. Yeah, you know what? You guys are missing out, because if you should just definitely look up a picture of Jane Goldman on the internet. It's her Wikipedia page is very interesting. Oh, she also wrote, she wrote Kick-Ass, X-Men First Class, The Woman in Black, and Stardust from 2007. So, good for her. Obviously, it has an English bent because it's Secret Service Kingsmen. All the secret agents have a code name from, like, Camelot. There's, like, Sir Lancelot, Merlin, and who knows all the other guys after that. Only, English guys, people that are into that kind of stuff. But it's starring like Colin Firth, Samuel L. Jackson, who is, we all know his agent doesn't say no to any. Samuel L. Jackson doesn't say no to anything. But the worst thing, I mean, and I love Sam, but he was doing like a weird Mike Tyson, like a lisp. So I don't know like if he decided that was like part of the character. He's playing like a rich billionaire in the movie, but, you know, the secret, like an old-time James Bond villain, because he's rich, he's well-known, but deep, like, on the side, he has a secret plan to ruin, well, actually, in his view, you know, he's twisted because he's a bad guy, so he has a twisted take on the world, but in his vision, he's actually saving humanity, but it's not the, he's not going about it the best way. But to be, truth be told, I won't spoil it, but I could actually kind of get on board with the plan. Sort of. It seems like there's a little, it was interesting. It didn't take itself too seriously, which is always good. It was kind of not a send-up or a satire of Bond movies, but it was like you had an old-time villain who, a femme fatale, who is Jackson's henchman, his top killer, and she had prosthetic legs. I mean, not for real, but, in the movie. It was like those silver ones that turn into blades. The silver ones, kind of like that South African distance runner that killed us. So apparently you're murderous if you have silver legs. It's kind of like that guy that killed his girlfriend. Just like that. That's what she had. But hers were a little more, you know, a little more deadly. She didn't need to use a gun to kill people. Let's put it that way. And I knew it must have been written by an English chick because it kind of disrespected our president. Our, let's say Barack Obama was in it, at least from the back of his head. But you knew it was him. Showed the White House. It was obviously a model, but he also got on board with Samuel Jackson. He kind of plays like a millionaire. Just like, let's put it this way, millionaires never want to give you anything for free. I mean, it was a little hokey. The whole plan, if you think about it, it's a little, but it's, that wasn't like the main point of the movie. It was more, there was like three good action scenes. Most of them were kind of in the previews, but they were a little Matrix-y, but it was good. It was good violence, if you dig that. And it was like, Colin Firth was good in it. It's kind of like Luke Skywalker was in it. Can't go wrong there. I mean, he looks kind of, you know, fat and old, but I guess that's okay. I didn't expect him to stay in, like, you know, Jedi shape. Who else was in it? Who's the chick? Oh, is it? No. Whoever, nope. Taron Egon. He was the main. I can't find the lady's name. What else did, but I would definitely recommend it. It's, you know, just for the church scene alone. It's exactly actually what you kind of want to happen to a church full of evangelists, Christian evangelists, let's put it that way. And can't believe it lost out to 50 Shades. Yeah. So that's about it. You know, it's like, it's definitely worth seeing. The special effects are good. And I think it basically, I mean, it wasn't quite action-packed. I mean, there was parts of, you know, the young guy that Colin picked, he had to go through training. So I feel like they are setting up for a franchise because, you know, he took over, you know, the role. I mean, he's in the service now. And there's lots of, I mean, every woman in there is hot. It doesn't have a good view of, I don't know how you want to put it. It's like, I feel like there's a little undertone of Hollywood left in there. You know, it's kind of like underclass versus privileged in there, especially, I mean, kind of more set in London, obviously, but it's like, you know, there's a tone that you could pick up, undertones, let's put it that way, in the script, and it all kind of comes around, you know, kind of like aristocrat versus your working class, and it's real underplayed, but it's there, so. Like I said, a little long. They could have shortened it a little bit. And, I mean, it ends good. He, classic Bond style, though. He gets the girl. He gets actually a princess. A Scandinavian princess. So you can't go wrong there. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind if they made it into a franchise. It could be interesting. It could be like, I mean, it's better than the last Bond. You know, it didn't take itself so seriously. And so, I mean, that's something that I look for in a movie. So there you have it. That's my 150-word review of Kingsman. See it. That's all I have to say on that. And I don't know if anybody did catch Saturday Night Live. I mean, I don't know what people were expecting from it. I mean, people were excited that Eddie Murphy was back on TV, but did you really think he was going to do like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or something? He's not like going to do comedy anymore. He just came out and introduced the skit and that was it. I mean, it's a big deal. I would have liked if he even mentioned that why he didn't. I think they had invited him in the past. They asked him to host and yet he didn't. I mean, he could have mentioned that. I was hoping maybe he would have said like, oh, hey, you know, it's good to be here finally, and I'll tell you why I wasn't here, because he was just kind of honest. And it was a weird moment. I wasn't sure if it was planned or not, because he was like, oh, I thought you guys were going to cut. I think they were going to cut to commercial or something, and then they never did. So he was just like, well, let's try it again, which was kind of weird. But, I mean, that happens in live TV. And people are like, oh, Chevy Chase, what happened to him? You know, and hey, I'm pretty sure Chevy Chase is like 70 and he had a stroke or something, or he's had some health issues, and he's not Brad Pitt. I don't think, like, that's one reason I got into comedy is, like, we don't have to maintain ourselves. Like, we don't have to look great, right? We just have to be funny. So, now, I mean, obviously he's not going to take any pratfalls, and Chevy Chase is not going to be, well, he was funny on Community until he let out a tirade of racial epithets. I don't know if it was connected to his character or not, but I mean, he was doing well on Community until he got fired for whatever reason. So he doesn't have to look good. So, I mean, whoever's criticized, that seems weird to me that you're like, oh my God, look at Chevy Chase. Cause you know, like, look at Mark Hamill. He's doing voiceovers now. That's his main thing. And I don't even think he's ever been in another movie anyway, besides Star Wars, but he doesn't look all that great. Samuel L. Jackson looks the same, but he's looked the same for the last, I don't know, 50 years. He's always doing weird, weird parts. I mean, he was good in it, but that's like the good part of being a character actor, I guess, is you don't have to look great. But yeah, I mean, all they did is show sketches. If you're disappointed by that, it's like, it was like 40 years. So SNL was on for 4 hours for each hour for each year or each decade. Let's put it that way. So I don't know what you're looking for, but it was okay. Seinfeld's bit was the best. Actually, we were just talking to Larry David. Who else was good? You know, there was a lot of, or people criticize the musical acts, but you know, I feel Miley's always going to get criticized. Kanye is going to get criticized no matter what he does. I mean, no, they weren't great in my opinion, but, Saturday Night Live is an icon. It's like one of those things that, you know, especially in my age bracket, if you're like in your 30s, it's just something you grew up, like when you were little, it was cool because you stayed up late on Saturday if you were allowed to, or maybe you stayed out or, you know, stayed up late if your parents didn't notice, and it's just something that you kind of grew up with. So it's like something that you want to see always. I don't know. It's like, nostalgia. Like all these stupid commercials now are just filled with nostalgia for stupid baby boomers, and that's why they like it. But it's like, it is an icon, and it's probably something that's not going to get canceled no matter if it gets really bad again or if it has a dark period. It's going to be one of those things that stays on until Lorne Michaels doesn't want to do it anymore, which I can't imagine. I'm sure it's making a profit for NBC, or else they probably would have pulled the plug. But now it's like Lorne Michaels going to do it until he decides he doesn't want to do it, or he'll pass it on and it'll be one of those things that never ends, like The Simpsons. Is that going to end? No. That's been on my entire life. So I feel like Saturday Night Live and The Simpsons are things, and they're kind of intertwined anyway, because a lot of Saturday Night Live writers went to The Simpsons. So they formed they shaped comedy through the 80s until the 2000s, when it went from, you know, character-driven skits to, you know, and then it switched, you get over to The Simpsons, and it's all Harvard grads who are just where everything is ironic and irony, and I don't know, whatever. I don't know, because I didn't go to Harvard. But that's, they have shaped, I mean, who's, you can list, Dave Attell worked on Saturday Night Live, Jay Moore, Larry David. I mean, those are the people that are the kings of comedy right now. I mean, Dave Attell's touring and, you know, what Larry David is doing. I mean, Seinfeld hosted. And Bill Murray is, I mean, Bill Murray's bit where he's saying Jaws was probably one of the standouts. But I obviously a lot of people have a lot of love for Bill Murray. So that was probably the only reason people would switch away from The Walking Dead. And of course, tonight is Better Call Saul, which I'm sure people are DVRing. Or you can catch it on the AMC website, where you can just watch it online. So you can do that. I think it's up all the time. So that's all. I know I'm excited about some movies coming up. Let's see. What is coming out? I know it's good to see Will Smith is back out with Focus. I don't know if I talked about that last week. Let's see. I know I Twittered about it. There's some exciting, exciting movies coming up. Yeah, because I like the Will Smith movie. It looks good because, of course, it has the chick from that was in Wolf of Wall Street. She's hot. And you can't go wrong there. But I feel like it's going to be one of those movies that where he does a lot of voiceover action, and he's going to always tell us the rules of the con game and lays it out, and then he's going to break all those rules for the really hot chick, and then things go wrong. But then they work out in the end. But that's what I want from a movie. I mean, I don't expect it to turn its side on its head. I'm okay with that. I just wanted like a nice... It looks like I don't want a heavy drama from Will. I want like comedy. A light comedy. What else is coming? Oh, Run All Night movie. That's not coming out till March, though. But I thought Liam Neeson again. This time Liam Neeson and Ed Harris. And it's Liam Neeson versus Ed Harris in Run All Night. In an action, gritty action. But I feel like it's Liam Neeson, who's like 62. Ed Harris is 64. It shouldn't be. It's not going to be Run All Night. It's going to be more like run to like 4 p.m. and then go to the early bird special. See, that's the kind of tweets that you would get if you're following me on Twitter, because you can't beat that. What else is coming out? Oh, and then Chappie, which is from the guy who made District 9. That's coming out, where basically a robot becomes sentient. It gets alive. It's alive. And it's doesn't know what to do with that. But it's kind of like it's, I think it's set in the future. It's like a gritty version of Short Circuit, basically. And the guy who did, you know, he did some other movies. He's always exploring, basically, fears, like Elysium. He did that one as well, you know, where there's a working, like a fear of the poor. And then District 9 was like fear of the aliens. So he's always got like, and now this is like probably, and I, from the looks of it, obviously people are afraid of the robot. So I guess what he feels like whenever people are afraid of something, you know, we try to kill it. That's what we do. We don't want to like talk to it or try to understand it. We just try to smash it, at least in his universe. So that looks like what that's going to be. But you know what? He has an interesting, you know, he still has, and he makes interesting films. Let's put it that way. So it might be worth watching. As far as anything else coming out, I don't know if there's anything else really exciting. I did see. I didn't really see any good previews when I was at the movies. I try to miss those. Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I don't know if any huge fans of Hot Tub Time Machine. But John Cusack decided he's too good for the franchise. He doesn't want to be part of it. So they got, who's that guy? The guy from Parks and Rec's going to take his role as the, you know, the more of the deadpan guy who can't believe what's going on. Adam Scott, who I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, but I don't really care for him. He kind of bothers me for some reason. I don't know. I just don't like him. I know I like the first, he's involved in that Comedy Central, the greatest thing ever shot. And the first one was cool with Jon Hamm, where they did a shot for shot remake of the beginning of Simon and Simon TV show. But after that, it went, kind of went downhill, and the second one wasn't as funny, unfortunately. So they should probably put a cap on that, I feel like, because they've reached the pinnacle. And what else is coming out? Nope. The Duff. Nice teenage movie. Actually, The Duff is a term from Mean Girls, so I don't know if they had needed permission from Tina Fey. Duff stands for Designated Ugly Fat Friend. So it's like an acronym. So, and then, of course, the chick who plays The Duff is really not that ugly. Maybe like TV ugly, movie ugly, but not ugly in real, not ugly and fat in real person, in person. But, you know, we can see where that's going. It's, you know, it's a feel-good movie. She turns it around. And she proves everyone wrong that, you know, ugly fat people are relevant in our society, as proved by, I don't know, Hillary Clinton and numerous other people. Well, it's obviously easier. It's easier for guys to be ugly and fat because we, even though the tide is changing and we're still, you know, getting judged more on our looks, it's still kind of judged on what we can do. So, you know, men still have it easier than women. I admit that freely. Kevin Costner, back again. He's just on a roll from his, you know, he's trying to make good movies after he went nuts. McFarlane USA, I have no idea what it's about, and I don't want to read it. It's just weird, because you know what? It's like two different things. Like, Kevin Costner went off the deep end, but not in the, in a bad way. Like, you know, like Mel Gibson was just, he's just crazy. And he went off the deep because he made, he went through that period where he made great movies and then he just made an incredible amount of money and he was like the number one guy. But you know, like Kevin Costner made Dancing with Wolves and I think he was a producer on it. I don't think he was a writer, but you know, I think it went to his head and he was like, he thought he was solely responsible for that. So like after that, every movie he made, he tried to make into like a big epic and it kind of, you know, kind of ruined his career for a while because every movie can't be a master, you know, every movie can't be Dancing with Wolves. He made a couple westerns and I know that he just, I think I read that, you know, he kind of worked on the script himself and I could see where he was just trying to, he's trying to reach too far. So in like Field of Dreams, it just, and I can understand success. It goes to your head. That's why you learn so much more from failure. Like Jerry Seinfeld says, like success is like the comedian's worst enemy because like once people start laughing at you and you get good, you get too good, then it's all over. I imagine I don't have to worry about that for a while. But I am going to wrap this up because it is 9:58. So to sum up, which I like to do, go ahead and don't see shades. I can tell you right now, don't see shades of gray. Even if your girlfriend begs you, you know what? Just take her out to a nice restaurant. She'll thank you. You know, if she wants to, if women are so deep into sadism and sadomasochism, why not just have them watch you play Madden for 4 hours? Because I feel like that's just as good torture as smacking her with a Keto 9 feathers or whatever it's called. A whip. Let's put it that way. Just, you know, they should be into that then. And it seems like most women aren't. And her safe word is, I'm going to break up with you if you don't stop playing Madden 2015. You know who plays Madden 2015 a lot? It is my good friend AJ, who's coming in next with sports madness. Because he's all about sports. And he has all kinds of opinions. Most of them are his. So, you want to stay tuned for that. And next week, I will, you know, maybe I'll come back. I'll have a hard-hitting interview. Sometimes I have those. If you look at my show archive on lakeeffectcomedy.com, you can listen to some of those. I interview people. And I will continue to talk movies. And hopefully I will have someone with me. It's just in this cold weather, you know what? All my co-hosts were like, I am going to stay indoors where it's warm. So I can't blame them there. So I'm going to have Jay Snow play us out. Thanks for listening.
Now lights, camera, action, pull your popcorn out, cause it's time for relaxing. Get the latest scoop on your favorite actors and actress. Buffalo.com, you know it's movie madness. Get the reviews from the coolest podcast. He's the two thumbs up, hold on, waste your cash. Just kick back, because the screen has begun. The madness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Cut. Send it to editing. It's a wrap.